Thanks for listening to the History Buff podcast with your resident history buff and Berlin tour guide, Arty. If you're enjoying the podcast and would like to see more History Buff content, then please do give us a follow on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Links are in the show notes. Thank you so much for your support. Welcome back to Ukraine's Story, a History Buff series in which we chart Ukraine's national story, from the medieval Kievan Rus right up to independence and the current Russo-Ukrainian War. Last time, we talked about the collapse of the Soviet Union and Ukraine's first years as an independent sovereign nation. Today, we are continuing with Ukraine's journey as an independent state, but we will be focusing on the Revolution of Dignity, otherwise known as Euromaidan. From November 2013 until February 2014, Ukraine witnessed widespread protests and social upheaval, triggered by a divergence in the visions for the country's future between the government and its people, specifically the older political class and the younger generation. Ukrainians, disillusioned by the government's unfulfilled promises and lack of action, found their hopes in President Viktor Yushchenko dashed as he failed to address the country's political and socio-economic challenges. Amidst a climate of crisis and corruption, exacerbated by the 2007 parliamentary elections, the situation worsened. In 2010, Viktor Yanukovych assumed the presidency through fraudulent means, exploiting tactics like carousels, where citizens that had been bribed were shuttled between polling stations to cast votes for the desired candidate. Notably, the defeated presidential candidate, former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, contested the results, filing a lawsuit with the Supreme Administrative Court, alleging election manipulation. However, corruption had become so pervasive that no meaningful investigation ensued. If previously we characterized Viktor Yushchenko's policy as ambiguous, it is unequivocal to state that Yanukovych's approach was entirely absurd. Yanukovych annulled the 2004 constitution, reinstating the 1996 constitution, and thereby reverting to a presidential parliamentary form of government. Additionally, Roman Shukovich and Stepan Bandera were stripped of their titles as Heroes of Ukraine. Jan Tabachnik, a vocal opponent of Ukrainian language and culture, assumed the position of Minister of Culture. Politicians associated with the Yushchenko era, such as former Interior Minister Yuri Lutsenko and Yulia Tymoshenko, face persecution and imprisonment. The economic landscape also experienced adverse transformations, marked by a steep increase in utility prices for the general population and the implementation of a pension reform that raised the retirement age for women and extended the required duration of insurance to qualify for a pension. The cultural domain was profoundly impacted, with the abolition of the Taras Shevchenko State Prize and the removal of the mandatory requirement for the use of the Ukrainian language in entrance tests for primary and higher education. These reforms were widely perceived as a significant regression. Viktor Yanukovych's foreign policy was characterized as multi-vector, with the president cultivating close relations with both Europe and Russia. However, it is crucial to highlight that Russia extensively interfered in Ukraine's internal political affairs. The Russian Federation frequently used gas supply as leverage, exerting escalating pressure on the Ukrainian economy. Accusations of unauthorized gas withdrawal from the supply system led to Russia demanding fines and even threatening to cut off gas supplies to Europe passing through Ukraine. Russia also imposed restrictions on imports of Ukrainian cheese, meat, and chocolate, marking the duration of what would become known as gas and trade wars, spanning from 2005 to 2014. Faced with numerous economic challenges, Ukraine was compelled to make concessions to Russia, culminating in the signing of the Kharkiv Agreements in 2010. Essentially permitting the deployment of the Russian fleet in Crimea for 25 years in exchange for discounted gas, this agreement saw Russia steadily increasing its influence in the Ukrainian region. While the deal faced criticism, some argued that Ukraine, grappling with the aftermath of the global economic crisis of 2008 to 2009, felt compelled to accept these terms. Yanukovych's policy extended beyond seeking closer ties with Russia. In 2008, Ukraine became a member of the World Trade Organization. While there were unsuccessful negotiations regarding Ukraine's accession to NATO, the situation with European integration showed promise. Ukraine was poised to sign an association agreement with the European Union, but this decision was abruptly reversed at the last minute. If only Viktor Yanukovych had foreseen the consequences of that choice. The excessive concentration of power in the hands of the president, widespread corruption, Ukraine being at the bottom of the Economic Freedom Index in Europe, escalating economic challenges, and its seeming drift into becoming a satellite of the Russian Federation had left Ukrainian citizens weary and frustrated. However, the straw that broke the camel's back came with a decision to halt the preparation for signing an association agreement with the European Union, a process that had been initiated in May 2007. In response to this decision, concerned citizens gathered on Kyiv's Independent Square, or Maidan, on the night of the 29th to the 30th of November to peacefully express their discontent with the political elite. Law enforcement agencies responded by brutally dispersing and beating the protesters, predominantly composed of young people and students. The following day witnessed around 500,000 people on the Maidan, leading to the formation of a national resistance headquarters. The protesters demanded, amongst other things, the impeachment of Viktor Yanukovych, the resignation of the entire Ukrainian government, and fresh elections. The international community intervened, urging authorities not to use physical force against citizens. In turn, the government organized an anti-Maidan rally, supported by the Svoboda Party, dominating the Verkhovna Rada, from which Viktor Yanukovych originated. The so-called Tituschki, tasked with promoting violent conflict resolution and provoking Euromaidan participants, were involved in the anti-Maidan protests. Investigations later revealed that the anti-Maidan rallies were funded with public funds, and the Tituschki often included security forces and law enforcement officers in civilian clothes. The anti-Maidan actions failed to produce results, and instead served to unite Ukrainian society. On the 16th of January 2014, a law was enacted giving state authorities discretion to punish protesters, prohibiting various things such as convoys of more than five cars, helmet wearing, setting up tents, and providing assistance to protesters. Recognizing that Euromaidan was gaining momentum, Yanukovych's government officially sanctioned the use of brute force, issuing a secret order to open fire with small arms and contain the protesters. The active confrontation led to tragic events, with protesters Serhiy Nigoyan and Mikhailo Zizhnevsky killed by a sniper's bullet on the 22nd of January, marking the beginning of the Heavenly Hundred, peaceful protesters who lost their lives during the Revolution of Dignity. On the 20th of February alone, 48 people were fatally wounded. In response, protesters hurled Molotov cocktails, threw cobblestones, burned car tires, and built shelters. Throughout Euromaidan, approximately 100 people were killed in clashes with the Berkut unit. The Euromaidan protest lasted from the 21st of November 2013 to the 22nd of February 2014. On the 21st of February, the Verkhovna Rada of Ukraine dismissed Interior Minister Zakharchenko, and on the 22nd of February, the Speaker of the Verkhovna Rada, V. Rybak, resigned. Oleksandr Turchinov was elected as the new Speaker. Viktor Yanukovych was removed from power and fled to Russia. Ukrainians showcased their determination and perseverance, underscoring that the price of freedom is worth the bloodshed. A resilient Ukrainian society emerged, ready to shoulder responsibility for their country's unfolding events. However, the situation evolved rapidly. The Russian Federation realized it had lost control over the Ukrainian political officials it had long influenced through bribery. In February 2014, Russian military aggression commenced against Ukraine with the annexation of the Crimean Peninsula. Russia aimed to maintain control of Ukraine and impede its accession to the European Union and NATO. On the 1st of March 2014, the Russian State Duma, the parliament, authorized the entry of Russian troops into Crimea. Given the lack of a clear government post-Revolution of Dignity and a weak and corrupt Ukrainian army, Russia annexed Crimea with minimal bloodshed. The puppet authorities of Crimea declared independence, and on the 16th of March 2014, Russia annexed Crimea following sham referendums. Censorship and restrictions on freedom of speech were swiftly imposed in the occupied territory, with severe punishments for pro-Ukrainian citizens. This move by Russia violated the 1994 Budapest Memorandum on Security Assurances for Ukraine and the 1997 Treaty of Friendship and Cooperation between Russia and Ukraine. The international community condemned Russia, recognizing its unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. The United States and the European Union imposed sanctions on Russia, and Ukraine sought recourse at the Hague International Court of Justice. Despite international condemnation, the reaction of the global community was relatively weak and somewhat indifferent. The world turned a blind eye to Russia's military aggression in Chechnya, Georgia, Syria, and now Ukraine, expressing deep concern but failing to enact serious consequences. Nevertheless, it's crucial to acknowledge that despite Russia not facing significant punishment, assistance and support to Ukraine persisted. Observing his actions going largely unchecked by the West, Russian President Vladimir Putin, a ruthless autocrat who saw himself as an acquirer of Russian territories, made the decision to annex the eastern part of Ukraine. In April and May 2014, Russia's illegal armed groups, alongside the FSB and GUR security forces, seized the eastern Ukrainian territories of Luhansk and Donetsk. This was facilitated by the propagation of anti-Ukrainian sentiments by Russian agents and calls for a Russian world. On the 7th to the 27th of April, the so-called Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic, or DPR and LPR respectively, were proclaimed, acting as puppets manipulated by the Kremlin and recognized as illegal terrorist organizations. A key figure in the annexation of Donbass was Igor Girkin, callsign Strelkov, an FSB or Russian intelligence service military officer implicated in the downing of the Malaysian Airlines flight MH17, where pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine shot down a civilian Boeing 777 on the 17th of July 2014, using a surface-to-air missile system supplied by Russia, and resulting in the deaths of all 298 passengers and crew on board. He played a key role in the murder and torture of Ukrainian soldiers, actively participated in annexing Ukrainian territories, and initiated hostilities against the Ukrainian army. Simultaneously, amidst these tragic events, Ukraine held presidential elections, resulting in the victory of anti-Russian and pro-West Petro Poroshenko. To counter the spread of Russian mercenary groups, Ukraine initiated a counterattack on the 1st of July. Notably, numerous Euromaidan participants, activists, and volunteers joined the armed forces of Ukraine, contributing to the liberation of Ukrainian lands. Ukraine successfully reclaimed Slovyansk, Kramatorsk, and Lysychansk, although these cities now stand virtually obliterated. To prevent defeat, Russia dispatched humanitarian convoys to the fake territories of the DPR and LPR, covertly delivering military equipment and weapons to Russian mercenaries. Consequently, the military strength of Russian formations increased, leading to the encirclement and assault on the Ukrainian group near Iloviatsk from the 24th to the 30th of August. The outcome was the loss of 186 Ukrainian soldiers, with others taken captive. The so-called Minsk agreements, signed in September 2014, were intended to halt hostilities and compel Russian groups to withdraw from Ukrainian territory. However, Russia reneged on its commitments, persisting in the offensive through proxy forces. In January 2015, the Ukrainian army valiantly defended the Donetsk airport, with its defenders affectionately nicknamed cyborgs. Despite these efforts, the Russian army continued its pressure. Diplomatic endeavors and the subsequent Minsk II agreement aimed at ending hostilities and withdrawing Russian troops were also violated by Russia, resulting in a virtual stalemate. In the occupied territories, conditions were dire, marked by numerous reports of abductions, murders, and torture. The exact number of Ukrainian soldiers subjected to torture and disappearance in the basements of Donbass remains unknown. Anti-Ukrainian propaganda from Russia escalated, leading to a growing humanitarian catastrophe and the shutdown of nearly all industrial enterprises. The formation of the DPR and LPR units, comprising Russian citizens and local residents, gained popularity, exhibiting behaviors akin to criminal groups. Frequent clashes between such groups ensued, involving activities such as kidnapping local businessmen, terrorizing the population, and committing lynchings. For Euromaidan participants turned armed forces members, eastern Ukraine transformed into an uncontrolled zone, resembling scenes from a horror film, with leaders opposing Russian orders eliminated by the FSB. The Euromaidan protest movement and the Revolution of Dignity serve as a compelling testament to the Ukrainian people's unwavering struggle for their democratic ideals and their aspiration to be a part of a free and civilized world. The surge of Ukrainian patriotism and the intense battle on Independence Square in Kyiv once again showed the global community that Ukrainians are resolute in safeguarding their freedom. The 20th of February is commemorated in Ukraine as the Day of Remembrance of the Heavenly Hundred, honoring the heroes who sacrificed their lives for a prosperous and democratic future for Ukraine. The events connected to Russia's military aggression against Ukraine, including the annexation of Crimea and portions of Donetsk and Luhansk regions, will forever constitute a dark chapter in Ukraine's history. The horrors brought to Ukrainian soil by the Russian world, the ensuing grief and suffering, will indelibly remain in the collective memory of the Ukrainian people. Thank you for listening to this episode of the History Buff Ukraine Story, where we talked about the Euromaidan movement and revolution of dignity. Join me next time for the final episode in Ukraine's story, which brings us to the present day. We will dive into detail about the ongoing Russo-Ukrainian war and talk about Ukraine's valiant fight for survival against Russian aggression. Many thanks for listening, and Slava Ukraini! That's all for now. See you next time. Goodbye, and Slava Ukraini! Now, if you'd like to find out more about the modern Ukrainian state, such as the meaning behind the flag, the trident symbol worn by President Zelensky on his iconic khaki t-shirts, and more, then please head over to the History Buff Patreon for a bonus episode on Ukrainian national symbols. All proceeds from this bonus episode will be donated straight to the Ukrainian army. The link is in the show notes.